Turning to John's first letter, chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, you might think rather strange words here for us to think about here this evening, but these are so helpful as we contemplate what John is writing here, what the Holy Spirit has put into the scripture here, helping us to see where we are and to help us find the Lord. Well, here is John the Apostle. He's known elsewhere as the Beloved Apostle. He seems to have been the apostle that was closest to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that was entrusted with our Lord's mother from the cross. You know, that word of grace and mercy to Mary at that time. Well, John, the fisherman, and the brother of James, who was early martyred for the cause of Christ. And here he is writing, we believe, towards the end of his life, perhaps creeping towards the end of the first century of our era. And he's talking to believers, as he says, we are of God. And talking to other believers, and he is speaking about those believers knowing God. He that knoweth God hears us. This is another of the, what you might call a technical term, although it's a very lovely term, for a believer, a Christian, someone who knows God. We know from the scripture that to know God is life eternal. To know God in the sense that we will ultimately speak of here tonight is to know him and to know his forgiveness and to know him in terms of love and relationship and to know him as a worshipper, to worship God. Well, we'll come to that in just a moment. But here he is speaking to other believers and speaking of them knowing God. And he says here in this verse, very simply, that we are of God, and he that knows God hears us. So he very simply says, well, of course, when we are speaking to other people that know God, that are real believers, one of the characteristics of that situation is that they listen to us, they hear us. Nothing could be more simple. Usually, John would know, and certainly we know, usually you do not get a hearing from people in this world concerning spiritual matters, concerning the Bible, concerning the gospel. Clearly, such people would have nothing to do with God. We could say, in the terms of this verse, that they are not of God. And in speaking of this way, speaking of those that know God, and of those that do not know God, and those that hear what John says, or hear what the Bible says, or do not listen to these things, or are not interested in these things, and do not hear at all, well, clearly they are not of God. And then, you see, he says at the end of this verse, hereby, and in this way, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The principle of truth, or the substance of truth and of error. The difference between them. In this way of knowing that there are some people that listen to us and hear what we say. And friends, this hearing here has got a lot more to do with just a thing going in the ear and being comprehended by the mind. This is to do with hearing and being obedient and doing what is said and following the teaching and being someone that's faithful to the word of God. And then someone else who's not the slightest bit interested in these things. Well, in seeing those two situations, John says here, by the Holy Spirit, in this way we know the substance or the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can tell the difference. So, just looking at this verse again, I'm sorry to trouble you and be repetitive, friends, but just to get it in our minds, we are of God, says John, the apostle, to the people, the believers that he's writing to. We are of God. And he would also be saying here, we as apostles. The apostles write in the scripture. We apostles are of God. And we, as we write to you, and you also that believe, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. Hears us. And they hear us in the sense that they hear, they understand, and they are obedient to what they hear. He that is not of God, well, not a believer, not a true Christian, well, they do not hear us. They do not hear us at all. They're not interested in what we say, and they certainly do not follow what we teach. And hereby we know the spirit of truth and error. Well, friends, this is not only true of course of John in his day, but in our day. Well, we've already intimated that, isn't it? I stand up here tonight, and I can say to believers, well, we are of God, we believers, and those that know God, well, they listen to us. They might come on a Sunday and listen to what we say here, or they might adhere to some tracts and literature that we might give to them. They believe it. And there are others, of course, that are completely the opposite. They're not interested in what we have to say. They're not here tonight because they're not interested in these things. And in this way, somehow, that we'll come to in a moment, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John, you know, he's sometimes called the apostle of the understatement. What he says in very little compass, even in a verse like this, is gigantic. Do you know, this verse is life and death. This verse here is all to do with where we will spend eternity. I'll show you that in a moment. I just want to turn back to the very second verse of this letter of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, just to show you that John, when he says something in very little compass, but it's fantastic and it is amazing and enormous what he says there in verse 2. For the life was manifested. There was a life that was shown, and we've seen it, and we bear witness of that life, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was shown to us. Now he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about that one whose life was manifested in this world. And John says, we've seen him. We've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the Son of God. You see, I have to use words to expound this, because John says it so simply. And we bear witness. We saw it. We're witnesses of what he lived and how he lived and what he said and how he died and was resurrected again. You see, he says in just three words there, and it means an enormous lot. And we shall unto you that eternal life. But John, you were saying you were talking about the Son of God. But now you're telling us that Son of God is eternal life. Well, yes, what he said, what he did, it all accomplished eternal life for all his people, which was with the Father. He is the eternal God, made flesh and come amongst us. He was manifested unto us. You see, I don't want to spend too much time with a verse like that, but just to show you that the Apostle John is the apostle of understatement. He says something, and you can be sure that though it sounds so simple, so straightforward, what he actually says is something amazingly profound, amazingly deep, amazingly important for us to hear. Well, this is what he's saying. So this is enormous. This is so straightforward, and yet it's all to do with life and death. So you might hear me say tonight, well, of course, that's a pretty obvious, Mr. Baker, what you're saying. But those that really are adherents to these things and believe these things, well, of course they listen to you. And of course there's thousands of others that won't give a moment's time to consider these things. I'm not quite sure what this is of knowing the spirit of truth and error, but it seems pretty straightforward. But let's examine this here this evening for just a short while. Look, we are of God. Now, first of all, friends, I say that to you in the widest sense. There is a sense in which everyone can say, if they would have it, we are of God. Well, of course, we are created by God, the eternal God. We are created soul and body. And we have been brought into this world. We are made of dust, but we're all original. God has made us with a body and with a soul. The Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Made by God. We are of God. Well, how do we know such a thing? Well, of course, the Bible tells us, we believe the revelation, but of course our conscience tells us that we're not our own. We are forever feeling that we do the wrong thing. Well, where does that guilt feeling come from? Where does that conscience lead us? It leads us to the fact that we are of God. We are of God. He made us. And of course, we know that we are intricate. We have a little understanding of human biology and how intricate our bodies are. Amazingly, we could not have evolved. The thing is ridiculous. It's almost laughable to think that there are those that believe that we evolved over millions of years or something like that. But of course, when we look at our bodies, we know that we must have been created absolutely in this form. And we're formed in the womb and we grow up, of course, and we are born with a body and with a soul. And of course, this is the fact that God has made us. We are of God. Why are we concerned in this world to perhaps save the life of the old and the weak? Well, because we feel that life itself is something precious. Why? Because God has given it to each of us. And why do we pray? Why do people pray? Even those that do not confess any form of Christianity or any religion at all. But as soon as they are afraid, you see them praying and you see them in great fear. Why? Because we know instinctively that there is a God that made us. And we are rational creatures also. We're not like the animals. We're not like the vegetable world. We have minds. And we can think and we can work things out. Of course, all these things we say to ourselves, well, how is it I have a mind? Well, because God made me. He's given me a mind like his own. Well, you see, these are the things, even believing such a thing in our quiet moments. I'm of God. God made me. God placed me in this world. One of the first questions of the children's catechism. Who made me? God made me. Well, this is something we all really know. But see here, the apostle says, we are of God. Well, us. I can say tonight, me. I am of God. And of course, we, us, me. This is talking about personhood. This is talking about personality, not in the sense of being happy-go-lucky or something like that, but no, of course, that we are persons. We are persons. Why do we know we are persons? Well, because there are those three great things to do with us. We have, as we have just been thinking, we have minds. We can think. We can work things out. We can understand things. We are rational creatures. But we also have hearts. We have hearts. We have feelings. Love. We love certain things. Some things we hate. Some things it's right to hate. Well, we have feelings. And we can be sad. And we can be upset. We can be full of joy. Well, we have minds and we have hearts. We also have wills, whereby we think of something and we work something out and then we do it. We actually carry it out. We have wills. We want to do something. We will to do something. Or we will to not do something. We don't want to do it. We will not do it. Well, all these things, friends, show us that we are persons. We are persons like God, who made us, who also has a heart and a mind and a will. And he made us somewhat like himself in our spiritual aspect. So, friends, we see that we are made like God. So we are of God. We are of God. We are somewhat like him, made in the image of God. And of course, because God has so made us, we belong to him. And we shall return to him one day. Our souls shall be returned to him when in our graves our bodies shall lay. So, in that sense, we are of God. But some, of course, are, if you like, of God more especially. They love God. They love him. They love their Heavenly Father. They think of him every day. They pray to him. They seek him. They seek his word. They are of God because they love their God. They have come to understand something of him. And something's happened to them that has made them love their God. And they love his truth. They love his word, the Bible. You see, they are of God. They love the truth. They love what the Bible says. They love how the Bible instructs them. They love the Bible because it shows them the plan of salvation and how they may find forgiveness for their sins and reconciliation with God. They love the truth. They love reading the Word of God to see how God has worked in the world. And what is the truth of this world concerning its origins and its final destiny? They love the truth. In that sense, they are of God. And they seek him in prayer, day by day. They seek him and they speak to God. through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the help of the Holy Spirit. They seek him in prayer, they ask him things that are proper, and they ask for help and for grace, and they ask him to help them in trouble, and they come to him with their praise and worship in their prayer. You see, they love God, they are of God, and they seek to imitate him. Of course, they can never do that completely, but they read for the word of God, and they listen to the ministry of the word of God, and they see how God would have us to behave in this world and with one another. And so they are of God because they love all that. They love all that, and they obey him, and they worship him from their hearts. You see, they are of God. Well, how does that happen? Well, we know, and you know, it is by Christian conversion. Someone comes and they see these things, and they begin to understand the truth of them, and they come and they ask the Lord to forgive them for all their sin, and they turn away from that old life of sin and living away from God, and they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did upon the cross, and they entrust their very souls and lives to God, and then they come and they yield up their lives completely to him. And you see, when this happens, then they are of God in that very special sense. Oh, this is wonderful. They are of God. They are saved. And one big thing Christians cannot help doing is that they tell other people. They can't help saying what has happened to them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And you see, they try to get a hearing. They try to tell people what has happened to them. They try to explain what the Bible has said and how God has experienced their lives, woven their lives in such a way that they have experienced him and know his forgiveness and his very great blessings. And churches of believers gather together and they have a service like this where they seek to help people to hear these things. They seek to get a hearing, and they gather the children together to hear these things. You see, that's what happens, and they speak from the Bible, and some, well, people hear these things, they listen. Well, there's no great debate, we're not having an argument here tonight. You allow me, quite graciously on your part, to speak to you. Where from? The Bible, not from anywhere else, but to tell you what the Bible said and what it says in this specific place, here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. And I seek to say these things and you hear what is being said, certainly with your ears. So that is what is happening. And you see, all those that love these things, all those that are of God, they believe what I'm saying. They believe what the Bible is saying. They believe what God is saying. They hear these things and they believe them and they take them in and they love them. Well, he that knoweth God hears those that others speak of God's word. They hear it, they believe it, they obey it, they follow it. Well, that's simple. Very simple. You see, all that comes from just this phrase here. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. That's what John is saying in this place. Of course, there are many that do not. He that is not of God heareth not us. They might listen from time to time, but generally, well, they might find it hard to listen, even harder to believe, impossible to obey. And the reason is as plain as day. They're not of God in that saving sense. They haven't come repenting of their sin. They haven't come trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. They haven't yielded up their lives to him and experienced that Christian conversion. That's why they don't really hear. That's why they are not of God. So we see this is true of the great majority. Of course, they don't come to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't listen to Christians, they don't hear, hear these things. Well, you don't need me to tell you that. This is what the world is all about. The Bible, the Word of God, is not on their agenda. Well, what of us tonight, friends, as we listen to these things? Are we really listening? Do we really love these things? Are we of God? And now John comes to an enormous conclusion from this simple fact. Believers, those that are of God listen, and believe, those that are not of God do not listen and do not believe. And the conclusion is this last mysterious part of this verse. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this we understand the principle that, of the spirit of truth and error. What does he mean? What does he mean? We need to understand first what is being spoken and what is heard. There is a message. And this message, we call it the gospel. Good news. Basically, we need to be put right with God. Only true worshippers of God will get to heaven. Only true worshippers of God will be made holy, will be forgiven their sins and live to God's glory. A person only ever gets like that by Christian conversion, and their life is changed. They become new creatures. They have a new life, new spiritual life, new thinking, new motives for all that they do and think, new desires that they never had before for holy things, new actions. They behave differently and they worship. They now become real worshippers of God. They love God. They love to sing his praise. They love, in the quietness of their own home, to tell God that they love him and that they want to serve him. And you see, they love him. All those things show that they are of God. It's the truth that has changed them. It's the truth, the word of God, that has radically turned their lives around and brought to them new birth, as the Bible calls it. They heard the Bible. They heard Christians. Perhaps they heard a faithful minister speak the truth about the world and what's the matter with this world and what's gone wrong and how it stands in rebellion to that God that made it. They hear the truth about this world and they hear the truth about God. That he is a holy God and that he cannot countenance sin, and he has dealt with sin in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or he will deal with it in unbelievers on the day of judgment, and about God who has made all things to his glory. They hear the truth about God and they hear the truth about themselves. They hear the truth that we're great sinners before God. They hear the truth that we are those that have broken God's law left, right and centre. They hear the truth that we are lost and undone. And without forgiveness and salvation, we will be in hell for all eternity. Well, they learn the truth of heaven and hell, the reality of those places and what they mean. And they heard it and they believed it because God was working in their soul. And he made them his. By conversion, they were of God. They are of God. And as they came to believe and trust in the Saviour, the Spirit, the principle of truth, was seen and clearly demonstrated by this turning of the life to the truth of God's word, the gospel. They were saved. They were and are of God. Others may have heard something or other, even the gospel. But the principle of error was working on them. They believed almost anything as long as it wasn't in the Bible. They believed all sorts of error and nonsense about themselves, about God, about this world. They believed in atheism, that somehow you can shut out of your mind there is even a God, or that you might be able to earn heaven of those that are of a more religious persuasion, or that there is no hell. And so the spirit of error resides on them. They're not of God. They're not interested in the truth. They want to believe anything that comforts their mind for a moment. Or maybe they have a personal religion. They've worked out, well, I don't want any of these world religions, but I've got a religion of my own. And I believe that that will see me safely through this world and on into the next. You see, they have a spirit of error. Or it may be that many people in this world believe in forms of religion, going through rituals and all sorts of things. And many churches will cater for such a thing. But friends, how is it not obvious that they are not of God, the God of the Bible? Well, there was no change. There's no real worship in the heart, no obedience to the word of God. It's so simple. So simple. The enormous thing here is that the difference between heaven and hell, the saved and the unsaved, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is that the Spirit of truth will take you to heaven, and the Spirit of error will send you everlastingly to hell from the presence of God. Now people say, how can I know? How can I know who's telling the truth? How can I know who's in error? I don't know, they say. There are so many voices in this world, so many systems, so many religions, so many philosophies, so many codes of living, even so-called Christianity. You know, there are so many flavours of Christianity. But little me, how can I tell? How can I tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? John is so helpful to us in this verse. You see, he makes it so simple. He says, look at people. Look at people in the Bible. He says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And in this way, we'll know. We'll know what's the truth. We'll know what is error. Look at people in the Bible. Look at people in history. Look at people around you now. Can't you tell? Can't you tell? Can't you work it out? Well, we might make a few mistakes about some people, but generally, we might say it's a little harder here in London today, but take a look at the Bible. Look at some of the people. Abraham. Well, he made a few mistakes. But Abraham, God spoke to him, and he obeyed God. He made a big change in his life, where he lived. And he went out, not knowing where he was going to go. And he spent years, years, expecting God to fulfil a wonderful promise to him concerning having children. And yet he trusted God and he believed God. He was fully persuaded about all these things. What do you think about Abraham? Was he a man of the truth or a man of error? Of course not. Of course he was a man of God. You think of some of these others that we have here in the Bible. You think of someone like Moses. Moses had a checkered start to his career, didn't he? He was brought up in the palace of Pharaoh, had so much riches. He was a prince in that awful and evil country. Oh, friends, when he found the Lord, when he saw how he must trust in God, when he met with God there on Mount Sinai, there in the burning bush, he was a changed man. From then on, the truth was everything concerned to him. He told the people of the truth. He told Pharaoh the truth. He told the people the truth. He brought them God's law. He was a man of the truth. Friends, you don't need me to show you. It's obvious, isn't it? He was a man of the truth. Of course he was. Perhaps think of one other. Perhaps David. David, he made some big mistakes in life. But oh, David. You think of him, you read of him in the Old Testament. And you look at him and you think of some of the Psalms that he wrote. And you think, here was a man that loved God. Here was a man that loved the law of God. Here was a man that loved the justice of God. Here was a man that understood and loved the grace of God. You think of David. Was he a man of truth or a man of error? You don't need me to show you. It's obvious. So clear. So you look at some of these people in the Bible and you can see that they are people of the truth. Surely. Surely you can tell the difference between them and the people of Sodom, the way they lived their lives. Wretched, we don't even want to mention them. Or Pharaoh, who said, who is Jehovah that I should obey him? Was he of the truth or of error? And those Baal worshippers in the Old Testament that got up to the most filthy worship, were they of the truth? Surely we can see the difference. And Herod the Great, who didn't have any compunction in murdering the babies there in Bethlehem, killed his wife, killed his brother, slaughtered his two sons. Friends, do you need me to help you? John says here in this verse, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Friends, this is so straightforward. And in the time of our Lord, well, there was Pilate. Was he of the truth? He once said, what is truth? Not quite sure how he said it, but it's quite obvious that he didn't even follow the feelings of his heart at that time, at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Annas and Caiaphas, they say, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross and to his death. Compare them to Peter and to John and to Paul. Friends, this is not rocket science to distinguish these sort of people. Who had the truth? Who was living the truth? Who was of God? And who were not? Who were in error? Who were far from God? Who had no love for the truth? Oh, friends, you can see it. It's so obvious. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Or in history, you look at the Neros and the Henry VIII and the Hitlers and the Stalins. Well, these are the truth? Of course not. Of course they didn't. They weren't of God. Of course they weren't of God. But you see some others. Well, we mentioned some. William Carey, the great Baptist missionary to India. Oh, what a man of God. What he went through. How he loved the heathen and wanted to win them for the Saviour and lived by the truth all his life. Or another people like William Tyndale, who suffered so much as he sought to translate the Bible from the Greek and the Hebrew into our English language so that the ploughboy would understand more than many of those clerics that couldn't even look at the Bible at all. You see, these were men of God. They were of God. They loved the truth. They loved the Lord. And they would do anything for him. Well, friends, you look at history. It's quite clear who is of God and who is not. And so now today, don't you study people? I hope you do. Well, we're not being busybodies or looking into people's lives in a snooty way. No, of course not. But you study people. You can sort them out. Maybe it's not quite so easy today. There are a lot of hypocrites around. We quite understand that. But you can see people's lives. You can see the way people live and what they say. And you can do it. What do you make of people? Is it not obvious? Here's someone I reckon is of the truth. Look at the way they live their lives. They seek to be kind. They seek to do the right thing. They seek to be righteous. Well, they're not perfect, but it's obvious. And then there's others. They couldn't care less about the truth. Never go to worship. Never give a moment's thought to the Bible in eternity. It's so obvious. Oh, friends, I say to you tonight, come on, sort it out. Sort it out. Ask yourself, do you hear? Do you believe? Do you obey? Where are you in all this? What is it that we are saying? What is it that you are hearing? Oh, believe it. Obey it. Obey this gospel. Come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the truth. It will change your life. And it will be so clear in the end. This verse is all about life and death. Eternal life and death. We are of God, says John. And we believers say the same. He that knoweth God hears us and believes it. And says, I must follow that spiritual advice. I must follow what the Bible says. I must come to this Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I must do that. But he that is not of God heareth not us. It's all gone very quickly. It all evaporates. Not interested really in taking it seriously. This is how we know whether someone's got the truth or is in error. But of course, the thing is, it will mark our eternal destiny. If we have the truth, we'll be with the Lord. We will be of God for all eternity. But if we do not believe the truth, then, of course, we will not be of God. And we shall be banished for all eternity to wretched punishment. Oh, may the Lord help us and bless us in these things. Let's pray together.